I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Good morning and welcome to Coffee and Cauldrons. This is episode 7 of season 2. If you just joined us, I'm Robin at A Tired Witch on Instagram. And this is Maria at Maria the Arcane on Instagram.
Hey, you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, good morning for us. Maybe not good morning for you, but oh well. If you are new here, this is your first week listening to our sensual voices.
Oh, yes.
We talk about upcoming lunar phases in relationship to where we are right now while we record this. So we're looking at the next lunar phase. This is the new moon in Aries, which is on April 11th. And with the new moon in Aries, we are kind of honing in on that fiery energy that Aries have. Maria knows. She's an Aries. Her birthday's coming up.
I don't know what you're talking about.
By the way, everyone, her birthday's coming up, although it's not on the new moon this year.
No, and that sucks. That was amazing last year.
Last year, we got to tell everybody to tell you to say happy birthday on the new moon. It was an easy way to remember. Was it a new moon or was it a full moon? I don't remember now.
Oh my god, I don't remember.
I feel like it was.
I want to say it was a new
moon.
Was it? I don't
know.
We'll have to see.
I'll look back later. So with this particular new moon, we are looking at energies that, like I said, they're super fiery. We're looking at doing things that are proactive, taking initiative, and really putting enthusiasm into whatever project you have going on. So this is going to be kind of taking the ram by the horns. See what I did there?
I love that. 10 out of 10. I'm here for
thank
puns.
Thank you. But it's taking the bull by the horns and doing any kind of spell work that is redirecting you towards, you know, taking that initiative. So maybe you're going to apply for a promotion at your job. This would be a great time to do a little bit of spell work to give yourself that confidence boost and to kind of set you up for a better position in, you know, pushing forward for that promotion. It can come in a lot of other ways, though, not just promotions, obviously. I mean, I'm sure we all would love a pay raise, but that doesn't necessarily mean that everybody has the accessibility for a promotion right now. So look at other things that take initiative. Maybe it's texting that person you're into right now, or maybe it's, you know, telling that friend you have that you need to set a boundary. Taking initiative happens in so many different ways. So focus on spell work that is going to aid you in that and give you a little boost of confidence.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you can all sit here and once again listen to the fact that Maria is an Aries and be like, but she's so quiet and nice. She's not. She's a liar. This is her persona.
Always like people's reaction when I'm like, I am an Aries sun and a Sagittarius moon, and they're like, huh, doesn't show. I was like, well, that's the Libra rising. Robin's,
it doesn't
but
show.
Robin has seen me angry. She's seen me
it's
upset.
Scary. It is very scary. Not nice. She doesn't get mad often, but when she does, you want to stay on the other side of that fucking line.
Yes, completely agree. But I really feel like, especially, you know, with Aries season, like, thinking about Emperor energy, and, you know, if you want it and you need it, go and get it, as you said. And so, like, maybe have your
like,
Emperor
really,
card
like, individualistic
on the
level, you could do, like, self-love, like, magic during this time, because it is that, you know, confidence and initiative. I can't think of the right word.
No, that's right. That, initiative.
Thank you. That you're trying to hone in. And so maybe you've not been feeling yourself lately. So maybe this new moon, you're going to do a little bit of glamour magic or a little bit of confidence magic, etc., which is very convenient for all the people in our Patreon who are in the spellcaster tier. Because y'all just got a confidence spell. Yay! I swear we didn't plan that. We just thought it would be good.
Yeah.
Happy coincidence.
It was my Aries energy. I knew it would be perfect. I just knew.
Maria said they're like, actually, I thought this through a lot. I'm really smart, so. So yeah, go grab the ram by the horns. I'm going to make that a thing. That's going to happen.
I'm surprised you haven't said, yes, let's get horny. Another horny episode.
Oh, bitch. Why did you let me go 5 minutes into this without saying that? Oh, my God.
So, if you just started listening to us, every podcast we talk about a random tarot card. We go over the universal meaning and then our own interpretations of the cards. Hearing other people's opinions helps beginners form their own opinions, or even those who have been practicing for a while expand their views on other meanings. So, this week we're talking about the Four of Cups. On this card, you will see a figure sitting underneath a tree on a grassy knoll with their arms crossed. They are looking at a cup being offered to them through a cloud, and there is additionally three cups sitting in front of them. This cup in the cloud, though, looks mighty familiar. It looks like many of the ace cards, which represent new beginnings. So the universal keywords of this card are contemplation, stubbornness, and feeling disconnected. When the fours pop up in readings for me, it always has something to do with our growth from our foundation, structure, and investing in oneself. This four works in the realm of emotions and emotional fulfillment. When it pops up in readings, it shows that, you know, we have really worked hard when it comes to our happiness, and we have experienced some growth, but more happiness is being offered to us, or there is a potential for more happiness. We may be worried that it may throw off the happiness we have already built, or it might overwhelm us. So it is making us stubborn to accept what is potentially being offered. The thing is, though, this opportunity is most likely fleeting and should be snatched up to add to your emotional growth before it's too late. Alternatively, depending on the situation, like an opportunity isn't being presented, but the client or myself are feeling kind of like ennui, and, you know, it can show wishing for more happiness on top of what we already have, but not necessarily knowing where to find it. I find it helpful in this case to reach for a clarification card to give direction about, you know, how to find this additional happiness. You know, there's nothing wrong with looking and receiving more happiness, you know, like, just take it. How do you view it?
For me, for once, I'm going to basically completely agree with you. I know usually I'm like, well, actually, I see it this way, but I completely agree. I know. It was going to happen someday. The only addition that I have to it is, in some cases, yeah, it depends on, kind of like you said, the cards around it. But in mm-hmm. some cases, I see the Four of Cups coming up when we're in like spells of severe boredom and mm-hmm. we are losing interest in things that we actually care a lot about or are talented in. Sometimes that might be depression. I mean, again, it's very individual basis. Mm-hmm. Hello.
Yeah.
English languages. My first language. What's up, guys? I can put together a sentence. But it is a case-by-case basis. And so I sometimes see it as super bored situations. Mm-hmm. And I often see it in situations where, let's say we go on a first date with somebody and they're a mm-hmm. really good match and it's a good potential, but like the first date just didn't really go well. So we're bored mm-hmm. and we're going to be like, no, we're not going to give them another chance. Which is fair. Mm-hmm. Like, people are allowed to do that, but sometimes we're going to miss really good, you know, opportunities and chances, like you said, because yeah. we're just bored. mm-hmm. And so whenever I see this card in that situation, I'm always like, let's give it one more try. And if you're still feeling this way, then we'll move on.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I completely agree with everything that you said. So
hell has frozen over. I'm just kidding. But like, I really think this is like one of the cards that you, I don't, like 50% of the time have to like get a clarification card if you don't have any other cards around it, because it can be very vague.
Yeah. Fuck you, Four of Cups.
I'm gonna keep what I have. I don't need any more. So this week we thought that we would just like have a little chit chat, like, you know, we would over coffee, and you know, you guys be a part of this conversation.
A little chat.
Yeah. Figured we'd talk about some stuff that is on our mind and what we're doing in our practices right now.
I love it. We figured this week we decide to be not preachy buttholes and instead just have a little chat.
I don't know. The stirring and not stirring is coming up.
true. And honestly, the last little segment that we like outlined here is a little preachy. All right, I lied, everyone. Get off my back. Okay, so what are you doing in your practice right now?
So, you know, the past few weeks have been like rough for me, chronic illness wise. So I've been laying in bed and doing like readings for myself, practicing some shadow work, and just trying my best not to get frustrated with my body and the need to rest. You know, my fatigue is like one of my biggest gripes when it comes to my chronic illness. You know, it's like I feel like absolute crap, but the more I fight it, the worse that the fatigue gets. So I've been trying my best to use moments like that to my advantage, because it makes me super mindful of how I handle my body as well as my thoughts. So having, you know, a huge bed tray so I can journal or read tarot for myself so I can sort through everything that's going on in my head has really helped me, especially in my practice. And just like I've been finding the time, you know, using that time where I'm forced to slow down has mm-hmm. aided my practice a lot. It's like forced introspective time to think about what I want, what I've not been appreciating enough, and mm-hmm. what I want to invoke in my life when I am well and able to handle everything else in life. And yeah, that's basically what I've been up to.
I've been in a very similar boat. I also am fatigued. obviously for different reasons.
Growing humans is hard.
Yeah. So hard. Humans, being a human is very difficult. And so because of that, I've been finding myself doing a lot more stuff that I can do like in bed. And so I've been doing a lot. Like, I had this big plan on the full moon that I was going to do scrying. You know, I've got a crystal ball. I was like, you know what? Let's do that. And then I, then the full moon came. And my ass was like, nope, it's 7:30. I'm going to bed. So instead, I've been trying to do things I can do from bed more. So, like, I've been doing more meditations, like guided meditations, which in general, I'm not very good at meditating, but I sure do try. So I'm trying to kind of take that time to, I don't know, get better at it. Yeah. I've been reading more, like, from my bed and just doing, like, well, reading, like, tarot more from my bed. And kind of trying to find new ways that I can incorporate what is my daily practice, but from a an area, a confined space that is a little bit more accessible for me. And I've been also doing things like trying to set up some new boundaries in my life. So overall, it's been, I feel like it's been, you know, it's been good for me as a person, not just as like a witch and practitioner. Does that make sense?
It does make sense, because like when we're forced to like slow down and become, it makes us really introspective and think about life in a whole different way and how we approach it. So we kind of think about, I don't know, just how to be more mindful when we do feel better.
I know we've talked about it before, but things like, I'm going to use the word disability here, even though I am not disabled, but I can't think of a better term for it in this moment. Practicing and finding ways to practice your craft still while acknowledging your disability or something that holds you back, I think is important. And even though, like, I'm not disabled, you are. You have a disability. You have a chronic illness. And it does, in a theoretical concept, hold you back from things. But there, that doesn't mean you can't rework parts of your practice to make it work for you. And I think that's something as a community that doesn't get talked about enough in a helpful way.
I definitely agree.
Yeah, like I know that Dot Darling Georgina, she had done a series on daily practices for people who have like low spoons or, you know, chronic illnesses. Except, well, I guess spoons and chronic illness are the same thing, but you get my point. You get my point.
Oh, I do. I get it.
And the amount of flack that she got for that, people were like, you know, this is unacceptable. Like, you can't tell people with disabilities what to do. And it's like, well, of course you can't. But that doesn't mean you can't encourage people to still try to make stuff work for them despite the, you know, situations that might be happening for them. And I think that especially myself, who doesn't have disabilities, but I'm forced to, you know, reimagine how I do my daily practice. For me, it's been really eye-opening. And I hope, I mean, I obviously don't hope for others that they're like confined to their bed, but I hope that others are able to find a way that they can view it that way as well, because people with disabilities are still human beings who are able to do stuff, just maybe not in the way that you envision them to be able to do stuff. You know what I mean?
Exactly. It's not lazy. It's just people are using their energies in a specific way,
in a different way.
They're able to.
Exactly. Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with it. I completely agree with everything you said. I think it's really easy to, I don't know, there's, you know, even outside of witchcraft and stuff like that, you know, it's really easy for someone who hasn't experienced feeling like absolute garbage a lot to be like, well, you're just lazy. You're not doing enough.
Such bullshit.
That person's actually doing the best that they can.
Yeah.
And, you know, I do want to stress the importance of, you know, during times like when you feel like absolute garbage, like, yes, you don't have to do like something crazy, but do use your practice to take care of yourself, especially your mental health. and, you know, for self-love. It doesn't have to be anything crazy, you know, make yourself a bath or have your, if you're privileged, you know, to have like someone at home to help you, like, you know, don't be afraid to ask. And mm-hmm. I don't know, just incorporating small ways to incorporate magic to take care of yourself. Right. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does. And I think that by dismissing disabled people within our community, by saying, well, they can't do this or they can't do this, is accidental mm-hmm. ableism in and of itself. because you're projecting mm-hmm. your own ideas as to what, you know, a daily ritual, daily practice might look like. Just because it doesn't look like mm-hmm. how yours is doesn't make it any less valid. I don't know.
No, 100%.
And here I said that we weren't going to get preachy. 8 minutes in, already talking about ableism. What's up, guys? Oh my gosh.
What are we talking about? I mean, we're just super passionate. It's fine. It's fine.
Oh my god. Which naturally leads us into the other subject, the one I put down. Let's talk about the climate of the internet right now, guys.
That's heavy.
What the fuck is kind of my specific point? I know Maria's not on Twitter because she is a sweet baby angel. And if she was ever on Twitter, I would have to protect her all day. And I don't think either of us is ready for that.
No, I do not have the, like, no, that would, like, tear apart my mental health. No, thank you. Anyways, go on.
I, like, kick open doors and I'm like, what's up, bitches? Let's talk about it. Right. So let's talk about the climate of the internet right now. It's not just on Twitter. I've seen it on TikTok a bunch too. A little bit on Instagram. But when I say a little bit, I genuinely mean, like, a small portion for some reason. And maybe because of the nature of Instagram that it's like a
photo-based.
Yeah, photo-based. That there's a little less vitriol.
That's one way to put it.
It's been really an interesting few weeks. First and foremost, I think the first thing we need to talk about when approaching this is the point that we as a community need to make of protecting each other's mental health. By that, I mean, sometimes things that people say on the internet are rooted in anxiety, severe mental health issues, trauma, PTSD.
Oh, especially trauma. Yeah.
And although their feelings and their experiences are very valid, the way they may be projecting those experiences into, you know, the internet world, it might mm-hmm. not be rooted in reality because it's their personal experiences and traumas, et cetera, that is coming out. So yeah. My point with that is that just because somebody says something on the internet doesn't make it true. It's a common phrase my dad always says. He'll read something online, usually Facebook, because he's a boomer. And he'll be like, well, I read it on the internet, so it must be true. And because there's a real reality in that, right? Just because it's somebody wrote it online doesn't make it makes it definitely an opinion. But it doesn't make it true.
Yeah, it's like an opinion article.
Yeah.
Like, it's
not. And places like TikTok or Twitter, for example, have got incredible creators on there. They really do. I don't want to sit here and like bash TikTok and Twitter as like a blanket thing. I really don't, because there are really good creators on there. They're really informative. But then you have this percentage that is like, let's say, I'm going to call it like literally 5%, because it is a very small percentage of creators, right? But they happen to be the loudest.
So loud. So loud.
And they just say shit and people eat it up. They just gobble it up. They're like, yeah, this is good. And it's usually not actually about magic in general. It's usually targeted harassment towards creators. It's totally baseless. The most recent one that I saw was there's a TikTok reader called Chaotic Witch Aunt, who's actually a friend of mine, Frankie. And she has a friend. I don't know this friend. So I don't know her name. I don't want to like misrepresent. But she has a friend who is being targeted on social media by white supremacists. And they were like leaving her like a bunch of bad reviews and sending her racial slurs and like just a bunch of really awful things. Again, it has nothing to do with magic, right? You're literally just targeting this creator based off of her ethnicity. Anyway, so Frankie posts about it and is like, hey, this is going on, guys. Like, can you please like help my friend like by like, you know, commenting nice stuff on her things just to kind of push those comments ahead in the algorithm, not the nasty ones. Which is like really nice and normal thing to do, right?
100%.
And then Frankie ends up getting like this like reverse Uno card by consumers, and they start sending her messages saying how Frankie is like psychically attacking and hexing them, and like it's like what
in the world.
It was honestly, I'll be honest, I had a really struggled to follow it entirely what was happening, because I guess it was happening like on a Discord server and then also on Twitter and also on it was like a whole convoluted thing, and this is just like one example of like many things I've seen over the last few weeks. And it's genuinely like, what in the fuck is happening? Everybody needs to calm down. And I've seen it a lot, like again bringing up Georgina Dot Darling, she's been getting insane amounts of hate from like men in the occult community that are just like bizarrely attacking her for no reason. My only assumption is because she's pretty. And like some men, not all men, but some men struggle with the idea of a woman being intelligent and also beautiful, and they can't, can't comprehend it. But it's creating this really, just these sort of things that I've been noticing, and I've seen it on other creators as well, ones that, like, I'm not friends with, so I don't want to, like, drop their names because I know my friends will be okay with me saying their names. I don't want, like, you know, I don't want hate. Somebody listening to this and accidentally sending like the wrong message to people, that's really fucked up. Where my friends, if they send that hate, I can take responsibility on that on a personal level. But I've seen it with a bunch, and it's predominantly men attacking women within our community, and I legitimately don't get it.
That makes me so angry.
And like, and I said, it's multi-platform.
I have seen it on Instagram in the past couple of weeks.
Oh, you have?
And it's, and it's towards witches, like Asian witches. And they're like posting about their experiences and stuff like that. And there's people in our community who have been going on their pages and bashing their thoughts and saying that their thoughts aren't valid. Yeah, it is ridiculous. And it's disgusting. And it's gross.
It makes me
really angry.
I know we are having a huge rise, and at least in the United States, of this Asian hate bullshit that's been going on, which is disgusting and deplorable. But to see it in our own community as well, it's very disappointing. You know, it just in general, when it comes to spirituality and witchcraft and magic, occultism, etc. And this is a very naive thought that I have, and I recognize that. Like, I'm able to compartmentalize that in a way that I can express it. I view people in our position as people that are supposed to be a little bit more awoken. You know what I mean? A little bit more open. Totally. And we're not, though, because we have a huge white supremacy problem in paganism. Like, we just do. And so it, like, which that's what I'm saying. I recognize it's a very naive thought to feel, but I want to believe that. I want to believe that our community can be better than that. It's not, but I
should be.
Like, I don't know. It's very disappointing.
Like, to me, it doesn't make any sense. there's always that one group of people who have to come in
or a couple groups. Ruin.
Yeah, and it makes our community look so bad because, you know, that's the stuff that makes the news and that's the stuff that gets blasted, and it makes us as a community look absolutely shitty.
To be perfectly frank, we've got, you know, the little Nas X song that just came out.
Yeah, yeah,
which is fucking phenomenal. If you haven't already listened to it,
it's
you
amazing.
Should. If you haven't watched the music video, you should. It's fucking great.
So good.
He's so talented.
It's amazing.
12 out of 10. Great guy. Here's the thing, though. We are seeing a rise in satanic panic because of that, which we've seen before in the 90s. Mm-hmm. Need I remind you of the Damien Eccles case? But this time around, it's because he's black. It's because he's a black guy. Like, satanic imagery is not new. Like, gay satanic imagery is not new. Like, I remind you all of South Park. But it's because he's a proud black gay man that it's now this, whoa, this is disrespectful. Shut the fuck up. Like, it's just a music video. Like, anyway, so things like this. If we as a community are continuing to perpetuate things like racism, misogyny, being shitty against each other, etc., all we're doing is we're giving the satanic panic people fuel.
Oh, 1 second. I feel like the same people get angry about like the music video and stuff like that are the same people who like listen to AC/DC, which, you know, Highway to Hell and all that. And it's like,
the whole thing is, the entire thing quite literally is, you're gay, you're going to hell. And he goes, all right. And they went, that's disrespectful. Well, which one is it? Is he going to hell or is he not? Pick a lane. Am I wrong? They're like, he was like, okay, I guess
no,
I am. And they're just like,
right.
Disrespectful. Shut up. Pick something to be mad about. And actually, in the case of Lil Nas X, why do I keep pausing in between the X and the Nas? I don't know. Anyway, in the case of that, he grew up, to my understanding, really religious. So you have a community of people who made him feel like he wasn't worthy for who he is. And then you've just proven him right by like completely condemning him as soon as he's like, hey, you said I'm doing this, so I'm going to do it. I'm going to take ownership of it. It's like a whole thing. Anyway, we're getting so off topic, but still.
Hot take. Hot take.
Maria's going to do a hot take.
if he did a video of him going to heaven and like dancing around and stuff, they would have the same problem because it's a gay man in heaven.
Literally. Literally, though. Like,
but I do feel like I don't think the subject is off topic just because it will affect our community because people think, you know, witches are part of, you know, are satanic.
And the thing is that if we as a community are continuing to fight amongst each other in this like totally nonsensical, unproductive way that has currently been going on, what's going to end up happening is we're in the rise of a satanic panic again. And you're just telling them that they're right and that they can discriminate against you and that we are these unhinged, you know, subhumans. And we're not. Of course we're not. I mean, every community has obviously bad people within them. But then it's our job to reject things like the white supremacists and paganism. Those are the things we should be fighting against, not fighting against each other because someone doesn't like a content creator, so they must have hexed me. Like, what? That they don't even know who you are. Like, let's fight against the things that actually really matter and make a huge difference for our community as a whole, as opposed to just being jackasses to one another with no reasoning. For no reason.
Mm-hmm. No reason at all. That's ridiculous.
And that's what I think about that.
This wasn't supposed to be preachy at all.
I'm sorry, guys. Here's the thing. When I say something's not going to be preachy, you can bet your boots it's going to be. Sorry. I love you guys so much, though. If you're still listening to this at this point, I love you. Oh, one more thing. Oh, man. I was going to do this at the beginning of the segment. Well, we're reporting today. Today is Trans Visibility Day.
That's important.
It is important. I meant to do that at the beginning of this segment. So if you're still listening, even though it'll be a couple days later, go kiss a trans person that you love with their consent. With their consent, yeah. Please. But it is. It's Trans Visibility Day.
And give them hugs.
And just make them know that you love them.
And stand up for them.
Yes.
For the love of everything. Please stand up for them. And if you
don't know any trans people in your life, and you don't know any trans people in your life, and you have the availability for it, not everybody will, go donate to a trans organization out there. There's a bunch of really great ones. There's a bunch of really great ones out there. You know, mm-hmm. even you might feel like, you know, a dollar is nothing, but it's actually like a lot to these organizations, because $1, you know, 1,000 times is a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
That feeds a lot
Completely
of people.
Agree. Yep.
See, now we can end this segment on a nice note.
I like that.
I like that too. I still wish we had started this segment, but that was my intention. So I'm mad at myself for that.
No, I think it's great. I think it's good. Wholesome note to end on.
So, Robin, what's stirring your cauldron this week?
That was particularly sexy.
Oh, thank you. It's Aries season. I'm on it.
So I'm gonna need 5 minutes. No, I'm just kidding. Thank you. I'm so glad that you asked. What is stirring my cauldron right now is thrifting. Here's the thing. We've gone an entire year in a pandemic where places like thrift stores have either been closed or not particularly safe to go into. And people are getting vaccinated now. Maria's had her first shot. I get mine next week. We're
so good.
We're about to be some vaccinated bitches. And when this happens, that means that I can go thrifting again. And specifically,
I know, I'm so excited.
Specifically, sorry, go thrifting for usable witchcraft supplies. Love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. I've been sending Maria probably like once every other week for the last year shit that I found on Etsy that I'm like, how cool is this? And it's like vintage candle holders or like bells. And now I can go just do that in life, in person.
I know, it's going to be so nice. I've been doing all my thrifting through Etsy.
The thing is, I love Etsy. I have a lot of respect for Etsy, but because it is individuals' jobs and they're like rehoming stuff that they find, it's always way more expensive than if you went to like some antique mall.
Completely agree.
And I'm a girl on a budget.
Yeah, same.
So I'm very excited to get to go thrifting again. That is not only what's stirring my cauldron right now, but is something that I'm obsessively thinking about.
Same. I get like so many messages about like the decor I use in my home, especially, you know, on my altar. And many people are surprised that a lot of it is thrifted. I think like thrifting is such a great way to find like unique and sometimes one of a kind objects. It does like take you multiple trips and being willing to clean things up to get them looking good, but honestly, 100%. Like, I find prettier and more well-made things thrifting most of the time than I do in stores.
Yeah, me too.
And like, I always feel like I let everyone down who are like, where'd you get that from? I'm like, thrift store.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry. I don't think Hobby Lobby carries this. Sorry. Yeah, I'm very, very jazzed about that. I'm excited. I think everyone should be excited to go thrifting. Mm-hmm. Let's repurpose some stuff, Gucci gang. What do you think?
Yeah, completely agree. I mean, you find all sorts of stuff in thrift stores.
Yeah, like sometimes candles, you find candles,
cauldrons,
you name it, teacups, jars. Everybody knows jars. That a good witch has got a big old hard-on for jars, okay? You know it, I know
and
it.
Beautiful, like, silver trays and dishes yes. that you can set candle work on.
Yes. Yes.
And if you follow me on Instagram, if you see my coffee table that I do, like, my client readings on, that was thrifted. Like, and my wife redid it and refinished it. So
really?
Yeah.
Excuse me, madame. She needs to come over to my house.
I know. She's so handy.
She is. Like, your guys' bookshelf in your living room is like that, too.
Yep.
All right. That's it. She can come over. She's my wife now.
She's putting her to work.
Just like God intended. Oh my goodness. So, Maria, what's not stirring your cauldron this week?
Oh, let me tell you. See, that was sexy.
Was it? Because I feel so really good. Nasally.
Hey, nasally is sexy.
That's, I mean, did you that ever right watch now? That? Nice.
Remember nice. That Phoebe episode in Friends when she got a cold and she started singing Smelly Cat and it was such a bop? I mean,
are you comparing me to Phoebe Buffay right now? Because I accept.
Good. I was gonna say, you better not diss on Phoebe. Friendship over. Terminated.
Smelly cat. What are they feeding you?
So, this week, I want to talk about witches, about boundaries witches set online not being respected. Even boundaries that aren't necessarily verbalized, but should be a given regardless. Now, this isn't only directed towards like non-witches, but witches as well, especially newer ones. While it is absolutely great, we want to expand our practices and learn from others, especially in the beginning. But unless a witch otherwise states on their social media profile that they will give anyone and everyone like free information that writes them, it is best probably not to message them asking them dozens of questions. I find witches who especially. Have this problem.
I say especially when like, witches have got a Patreon that other people pay to be in that circle, yeah. And you do not.
Yeah, completely agree. And like, I find a lot of witches who have this problem are receiving like dozens of messages a day asking random questions, have pages that are loaded with information on like different subjects. The thing is, usually the stuff on their pages are the things they are willing to share, unless otherwise stated. It is up to us to do more digging on their posts to find different information. We also have to take the initiative to take the information we have learned from their posts and do some digging of our own. This doesn't mean, by the way, that we can't or shouldn't ask questions on their posts, but keep it on the subject at hand and questions that can be easily summarized. And regardless, any and all witches online should never, ever, ever, ever be our one-stop shop for information. They can't, like, they can't give us magic pills to give us all the information we need to learn to cultivate a meaningful and a unique practice. And, you know, the reason why I'm bringing all this up is that I feel that DM requests for witches get abused. A lot of people tend to not respect the witch's time and energy with the things they are willing to share, which is already on their page. And some people, witches included, get straight up hostile if they hear the word or if they aren't answered or are told no. If someone says no, it's not an invitation to convince them otherwise.
No means no, and, not convince me.
Yeah. And the thing to keep in mind is that if someone is getting like 50 messages a day, chances are they're not going to see every single one because we as humans shouldn't live online. Could you imagine having like 50 different complex messages going on at once? It would be a full-time job, and not many witches are paid to be on social media unless it's a company page they are running.
Right. And realistically, the thing is that at the end of the day, even with like the Coffee and Cauldron podcast Instagram, that is just Maria and I. And then our individual pages is just me or just Maria. We don't have a team. This idea that there we have like some secretary, like I try really hard to respond to all my messages, but frankly, I don't get to all of them because I, like Maria said, I get about 50 a day. So like emailing me, calling me a fucking bitch because I didn't respond to your DM, despite the fact that my bio says don't DM me about business related matters, is like really not kind. I don't know. We could go on about this all day. Like asking me, this, some of it's laziness too. Like, I know I did a meme about this a few days ago. I guess about a week ago now. The what deck is this meme?
Yeah.
It's tagged in the fucking post and probably says it in the caption. Now, granted, sometimes I do forget. And if people remind me, then I'll obviously fix it right away. I'm that's my mistake.
Yeah.
But like to send me my own post as a DM being like, what deck is this, when it's tagged and in the caption? I get like 20 of those every time I post a deck. Like, please, please, please don't do that. It's so exhausting. And then I feel like the asshole, but then I'm getting frustrated because I'm like,
your boundaries are being pushed. And exactly. It's just, it's the whole like, you have this information in front of you and it's up to the person who's reading it to go the extra mile of looking stuff up. Like, I don't know. And, you know, a lot of people will confuse all this with gatekeeping, but lovely creatures, this is not gatekeeping. Not even close.
It's somebody up having to the personal boundaries is not gatekeeping.
Exactly. It is up to the witch what they choose to share and not to share with outside world with their practice, because our practices are sacred. And what we share with others.
There's this air now that seems like on social media in general that didn't exist 10 years ago. Okay, I'm dating myself here, but there's an air now where people feel like they're owed this information for free. And you see it in other things as well, like books being shared, illegally downloaded, and then shared. And like, there's a lot of really legal and respectful ways to get a book for free, like requesting it at your library, joining a book share where people who have bought books swap books with other books. I said books like four times. And it's legal and it's respectful because at some point, you know, the person who's owned the book has decided I'm going to trade this for another book with someone. And these are all legal ways to do it. Illegally downloading it is really disrespectful to the author who has put time and energy into it. And a lot of times these are their careers. This is their job. This is how they make money. And while I completely understand that it's not affordable and accessible for everyone, let's look at ways that then is being respectful, like requesting it at your library. Because you can do that. And yeah, maybe it's going to, you won't have instant gratification. You might have to wait a couple weeks for it to come in, but you're still not paying any money for it and you're supporting an author.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah, I don't know. It just it that stuff frustrates me, and I try to not let it, but I think it's pretty rude.
But yeah, we just I don't know. We all need to be more respectful on the interwebs.
Let's just
and
be nice.
Appreciate people's time and effort that they put in the information they are willing to give.
I agree. I agree. Yeah. If this is your first episode listening to us, I'm gonna try to start making these really brief. If this is your first episode listening to us, we talk about shops that we're loving right now. And mm-hmm. well, shops, creators, artists, etc. It varies every week. And on that note, these are people we are finding organically. They are not paid promotions. They never will be. And if you message us about it, we're just gonna laugh about you. We're going to just laugh about you. We do it. And you guys keep doing it. You keep, well, I say you guys, I don't think any actual listeners do it, but we're all laughing at you.
Yeah, I don't think they're actually listening, even though they're like, we love your podcast.
We love your podcast. Shut the fuck up. If you loved it so much, then you would know that I'm literally going to screenshot this message, send it to Maria, and we're both going to laugh for like 20 minutes about how dumb you are. So on that note, who are you loving this weekend?
So I'm loving the shop Shores of Moon. They're on Instagram, but also on Etsy as well. And I recently got the Luna Soma deck from them. And it is so beautiful. And it is so lovely. It's a tarot deck, by the way. I probably should have led with that. But it combines like classic Rider-Waite-Smith imagery mm-hmm. with like unique imagery. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I really love their take. And I love the little details that they added to the cards that do follow the mm-hmm. Imagery of the Rider-Waite-Smith deck. They added like moons and stars and stuff like that. It's just so pretty. And, you know, I love a good black and gold deck.
They're such a slut for them.
I am. Oh my God. Can I have them all? And I think the only thing that would make it even better is if it was gold foil. But honestly, I do not hate how they did the gold accents on it because it's beautiful. No, but it looks like it. And
it looks like it could be.
I know. It's so pretty. And the cardstock is really good. I love the cardstock. It's really good. And the backs of the cards. Oh my God. The backs of the cards have the moon phases. It's so pretty.
So pretty.
Anyways, who are you loving?
I picked a shop this week. It's Blossom and Burr. And she does a bunch of like repurposed thrifted things. So like silver goblets and stuff like that she turns into candles and stuff like that mm-hmm. and she makes jewelry I'm pretty sure too, and she does like just regular candles, and she does like thrifted incense holders and stuff, and like it's all very beautiful, but specifically how she photographs everything is just I want to live in the photos. Like, you know what I mean? I want to crawl inside there and be like, yes, this is my home now.
It's like very like forest witch.
It's very like hedge witch, witch of the woods, like love to mm-hmm. see it, want to live in it. I almost forgot. She did a candle. I don't know if she's still selling it, but she did a candle a couple months back that was called the Hand of Glory. Mm-hmm. And it mm-hmm. was every finger on the hand. It was like a hand-shaped candle. Every finger was a different flame.
I love that. That's
I know. So, neat. So over the top. I want That's one so really cool. badly. Send me one or I'll buy it, please.
And I love their – they have – everyone asks me, like, where I get my incense burners. But she has some really – pretty incense burners, and really I am about to buy her out.
She's clearly just got an eye for finding that stuff. It's just I love it. I want everything. I want to live in the photos. I want to buy everything. Like, honestly, like I have to like physically not go to her page quite often because I will spend all my money. And if you think my husband kills me for tarot decks, imagine me saying, I bought 15 incense burners. Oops. I don't know what happened. I blacked out. They're all in my cart. They'll be here Tuesday.
My house might smell like a 50s office building, but it's fine.
It's fine. If anything, it's better than fine. This is an improvement. Oh my gosh. Thank you all for joining us today. We appreciate you. We hope that we will see you again on Friday, April 16th for the 8th episode of season 2. You can keep an eye out on our Instagrams and on our Twitter. You can follow us on Twitter at Coffee Cauldrons or on Instagram, which is Coffee and Cauldrons Pod, for more information and also some pretty sick memes.
I love our memes. Or even better, joining us on our Discord tier, which is First Covenant on Patreon, so we can answer your questions in part 2 next time.
You'll even get to hear our lovely, sexy, sensual voices for an additional 30-ish minutes per episode for being on the Patreon tier casting and up.
Again, this is Coffee and Cauldrons.
With Robin from At a Tired Witch on Instagram.
And I'm Maria at Maria the Arcane on Instagram. You ready?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Let's do it. All right.
One,
two, three.
Bye, witches. Bye, witches. Oh my God.